My brothers and sisters in Christ, it is time for us to begin worship this beautiful day. And wow, what an amazing thing. We can be here without masks on. And those of you who are still wearing masks, God bless you. It's like, you know, what a weird time we live in. What am I thinking here? Basically, welcome to everybody online, on the parking lot, in church here in person. Let us begin our worship service remembering the God that made it possible for us to be in his presence, the God that made us acceptable to him by taking all of our sins upon himself and washing us clean in the amazing gift of baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you today and we thank you so much for your great provision for us, that you have continued to take care of your people, that, Lord, that you have provided for us, that you have protected us, that you have made it possible, Lord, not just with the things that we need for life in this world, Lord, but that you have made it possible for us to have confidence that we will be with you forever, Lord, in the next world. Lord, I pray that you would continue to build us up this morning through your word and give us words to speak that we may give you praise and glory, Lord, for all that you have done for us, for the amazing God that you are. Thank you for this. In your name we pray. Amen. Please stand as we confess our sins. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's remain standing as we sing today, and let us return praise to the God who has provided for us. Thank you.
Morning. My name is Kevin Segg. I'm one of the elders here at St. Mark's. It's nice to see everybody's faces this morning. We don't have masks covering faces. The first reading is from John chapter 17, verses 1 through 5. This is in the Garden of Gethsemane, just before Jesus is arrested and prior to his crucifixion. And he's been talking with his disciples. And then he starts talking to his heavenly Father. Chapter 1. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." This is the word of the Lord.
All right, kids, it is time for the children's message. And you guys can come forward if you're here. Is there anybody? Children's message? No? Okay, that's fine. All right, so, that's all right. Okay, first of all, have you guys ever had a time when you were like away from mom and dad for a while? Did you ever go to somebody else's house and spend the night and you were like away from mom and dad? And how did that make you feel? Were you like really okay with that, or did it kind of make you a little bit scared? And how much did you miss mom and dad? And how happy were you when you finally got to see your mom and dad again? Was it really, really happy? All right, so here's the thing. What's happening in today's reading, the reading we just heard, was that Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and it was just before he got arrested and just before he was going to go on the cross. But he was getting to the end of the work that God had given him to do. Jesus came into this world to teach us and to teach the disciples and to get us all prepared and ready and understand exactly what it is that he was going to do, why he was there, and what he wanted from us afterward. And after he had just getting to the end of this whole thing, and he looked at his disciples and he said, "Listen," or no, he was looking at his disciples and saying, "They've been taught, they know what they're supposed to do." And he realized that the time was coming when he was going to get to go home again. Because remember, for him, home is heaven. And the place where he belongs is in heaven with his Father. And he was looking forward to going back. And so he is really excited. And when he prayed to the Father, he said, basically, "Glorify me as I have glorified you. I am coming home." Is that exciting? Yeah. And the most exciting part of that whole thing is this. What he came here to do was to rescue us and to save us and to make it so that we also can go home to be with him one day. And it's the place that we most belong. It's the place where we are anticipating and really wanting. We're looking forward to it. We want to go there so badly. And so we also can pray that same thing and say, "God, you've given us work to do in this world. And when that work is done, we get to come home to be with you." And that makes us really happy. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for us. Thank you for forgiving our sins and making it so that we can spend forever in heaven with you. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Outstanding. And the sermon text for today. Little worship. Thank you. Little worship is going to be right now. So anybody 4-year-old through fourth grade can go to the cross in the center aisle, and you guys will have teaching just for you. And we will bring your children back again. All right, excellent. And with that, then let us read our service, the sermon text. We're still reading out of the Old Testament lessons, and this week we're reading out a Psalm. And this is an interesting one because this is Psalm 1. And as you would imagine, when David sat down to read the Psalms, he started with the most foundational, basic beginning Psalm, the one that kind of sets the framework for all the rest of the book. And that's what this Psalm is. And we're going to talk about that. Psalm 1, verses 1 to 6. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like the chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor seats in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. All right, so here's the image that first comes to me when I read this psalm. This psalm is basically saying this: at this point in your life, today is the first day of the rest of your life, right? It's the rest. This is it. And today, you have a choice. Now, there's two different ways you can go from this point. That's the whole idea of a choice, right? You can either go with the law of God and pursue it and learn it and grow in it, or you can instead take the wisdom of the world and you can learn from the people around you and kind of soak up the culture and the media and everything and just kind of go with that. But one way or the other, you're going to make a choice. And the choice is rather stark. I mean, here it is. It says right here, it almost divides the psalm in half. The verses 1 through 3 tell you about one way, and verses 4 through 6 talk about the other way. It says this, it says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked. But this is actually something that has a lot more to do with, first of all, let's talk about blessed. The word blessed in this is not the same word used for blessed as in like the Beatitudes and all those. It is one that is used, it is basically more of the idea of happy, content, fulfilled, that you will be blessed, but in the sense of inner peace and knowing that you are going in the right direction. All right. And that you'll even have some joy in this. And what he says is, he says, you will be this kind of blessed if you do not walk in the way of sinners. And what that's talking about is listening to the things that the sinners are saying. It's adopting their teaching, adopting their values. And you know what I mean by this, right? I mean, the difference between what God says and the world says couldn't be more stark today. You know, where the values of the world and the values that God says are actually in tremendous conflict. That the things that God says are good, the world says are evil, and the things that the world, that God says are evil, the world says are good, right? I mean, we look at so many different things, mostly in the whole gender thing today. I mean, it's just so many things, but also like things like marriage. You know, the whole idea that, you know, we've come to the point where we start thinking that it's normal for people to live together before they get married. We figured that that's better, that that's, that that's just the way it is, but that's not what God says. That's actually the opposite of what God says. We talk about that it's loving to just allow people to continue to wander deeper and deeper into sin, but is that really truly loving? Well, no, it's not, but that's what the world wants us to do. We talk about individual values, you know, the idea that it's compassionate for us to allow people to say things that are not true and that we would just stand by and let it happen without ever objecting or even explaining what it is that God actually says. But if we allow ourselves to start to continue to listen to what the world says and to start to absorb their values and their thinking, eventually we start wandering into the wrong direction. Because once we start accepting the values of the world, accepting the world's definition for love, accepting the world's definition for compassion, accepting the world's definition for peace, we end up taking the next step into sin. And so instead of just simply walking with the wicked and listening to the things that they say, we stand in the way of sinners, which is basically that we stand with sinners, that we end up coming to the same conclusions that they come to, and that basically we start, instead of just learning some of their values, we start coming to their same conclusions and we start living the way they live, which is in opposition to the way God wants us to live. And then after that, we sit in the seat of mockers. And what that is basically it's the people who have completely turned their back on God. See, at first you just start listening to the world. The second thing is you start letting the world infect your life and start living their way. And the last thing, the last place is where you sit in the seat of mockers. And when they talk about mockers in this context, they're not talking about mocking other people. They're talking about people who are mocking God, mocking the belief in God, mocking the idea of God. And do we see that in the world today? I mean, I definitely, there are so many people who, if you say, you know, that God is over us and watching over us and taking care of us, they'll throw up all kinds of philosophical arguments. They'll talk about, well, if God is so great, then why does he let people die? And why does he let this happen? And why does he let that happen? And the trouble is with that, is it a bad thing to ask those questions? No. But it's a bad thing when you ask those questions without actually wanting to figure out the answer. You know, do you see the difference? I mean, there's two different reasons to ask questions. One is to seek knowledge and to understand what it is God has for us and what God has revealed to us. Another reason to ask questions is just to cause trouble. And that's what so many people do. And that's the temptation that we can fall into. That's where that road leads. If you start listening to the world, you'll start soaking up their values, and pretty soon you'll find yourself agreeing with the world. And then pretty soon you're going to end up in the seat of mockers where you're standing in opposition, open opposition to God, denying him and mocking him and anybody who would follow him. And what David is trying to lay out very, very starkly here is this is the progression of sin. This is how it works. Sin is not benign. Sin is not friendly. Sin is not something that you can play with. Sin is toxic. It gets into you, and it corrupts you, and it turns you away from him. So this is a rather huge thing that God's talking about here, that David's recording here. And he says, but, in other words, blessed is the one who doesn't do any of those things, but instead, what does he do? He delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on his law day and night. Now think about that. He delights. Now, How many people here read the Bible every day? Okay, excellent. That is excellent. Very good. How many people absolutely love reading the Bible every day? Every day? Come on, be honest. There's days. I know there are days. You know, it's sort of like how many people come to church every week, right? And then how many people absolutely love coming to church every week? Yeah. There are days. You know what I'm saying? There are days when the pillow is very comfortable. And it is like my best friend, and I don't want to leave him behind. You know, I mean, there are days when it's hard. But the thing is this. That's not really what David's getting at, because, I mean, he knows that there's always going to be resistance. The question is, why do you do it anyway? And the thing is that we do it anyway because God's word is waiting for us, and his word is life. Understand that, right? I mean, you get that? His word is life. I mean, there are times that I get busy in life, but all that means is I'm distracted. I mean, let's face it. If we live our life according to priorities and what's most important, are we ever not going to have time for God and his word? Are we going to forget to pray? I mean, it's absurd. It's ridiculous, right? I mean, if we have the ability to be in the presence of Almighty God, to hear his love words to us and his instruction for us in our lives, why would you ever turn that down? Ever. Right? And if we have the ear of God Almighty, that he can listen to our prayers, and this God that adores us, loves us, died for us, is sitting there waiting for us to talk to him and wants to hear our prayers and has promised to hear our prayers and promised to bless us, this God, who would not spend time with him? But that's not the reason we don't pray, the reason we get distracted, the reason we don't spend time in God's word is because we get distracted. The rest of the world is a bunch of shiny objects, and we're a bunch of ADD children, and we squirrel, you know, we're off and running in that direction, and we're 3 weeks down that road before we realize what we have done. And here's the thing about this text is that it kind of presents itself as like a path that diverges in a woods. You know, Robert Frost, you know, the path not taken, right? All that. But that's not what this text is really talking about. This text is talking about this thing that we know about ourselves. And here's the thing. I learned this in the Army, and I have no idea. I got lost in the woods all the time in the Army. It was the one thing I could not do. In fact, it was the one reason I didn't make sergeant. I was 9 years in the Army Reserve. I didn't make sergeant because I couldn't not get lost in the woods. And somehow they find that important. Anyway, but the thing is that we as humans have this weird tendency. We cannot walk in straight lines. Did you know that? That if you take a human being and blindfold them and put them out on a tarmac and an unused runway, so you just have this huge flat area, people will walk in circles. And not even very big circles, about 60 meters diameter. You'll just walk in circles. Why? Nobody knows. But we don't walk straight. And what this text is telling us is this. If you're going to walk straight in life, you are going to need some help. What they tell you to do in the Army is they say, pick a tree in the woods. Or if you're at someplace else, pick some other landmark and walk toward the landmark. And then pick the next landmark, and that'll help you to walk in a straight line. In life, what we need is God's word. Because we as human beings are flawed. We are tainted from the inside. Our logic, our reasoning, our perceptions, everything is tainted with sin. We are wrong, and we need help if we're going to get through this life and walk straight. And the only thing that's going to make that happen for us, the only thing, is to be in God's word constantly. And that when you get into God's word and you start to understand it, because let's face it, reading God's word, I always love it that people tell you to read John first. You know, they say, if you've never read God's word before, start in the Gospel of John. And I'm always fascinated that they do that, because here's the beginning of John. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Simple. Why that? You know, I mean, Luke, That's written like to a Western mind. It's like, you know, he's a physician. He writes things. His stories have beginning, middle, and end. It's like much more clear. John is very, very complex and beautiful, but very complex. Anyway, so but that's an aside. The thing is that the first time you read through Scripture, you're going to learn a ton. But there's a lot that's going to get past you because it's the first time you read through Scripture, right? And here's the thing is when you read through Scripture, you're going to learn a whole bunch of stuff and you're going to get, but you're only going to know about this when you get to it. And when you read this, you're not going to realize that it's talking about that because you didn't read that yet. You get this? I mean, you're going to have a hard time connecting all the dots because you have not seen the whole thing. But wait. The second time you read through Scripture, is it the same trip as the first time? No, because now you've seen the whole thing. And now your brain's not going to remember everything, but it's going to remember some stuff. And the second time you go through Scripture, you're going to start connecting dots and asking questions and making, you know, and figuring things out. And the third time, you see how this goes? And the way I say is that, most books you read, like an algebra book, you read it from the beginning to the end. It's a very linear experience. And once you've read it once, you really don't need to do it again because algebra doesn't change. Now, you might forget it, but it's not going to change. I mean, once you've mastered it, you're ready for the next book, Algebra 2. Then things get interesting. But the thing is that in the Scriptures, though, is that it's more like reading in a spiral. You read it around once, but are you in the same place anymore? No, you've moved up, right? You read it around again. And your understanding, remember, faith is both the confidence in what we believe and the content of what we believe, right? That we believe things that God has promised and we believe them with confidence. And what is it that the Spirit helps us with? Both, right? That as we learn and as we grow in God's word, that we are educated and that the content of our belief, the content of this faith that God has revealed to us grows and becomes more complex and that we're able to do it better. We're able to understand it better, able to live it out better. We're able to trust better because we understand what God has actually said, right? I mean, how many times have we had misperceptions about God? And when we read the Bible, we go, oh, that's what he meant. And we grow and we learn. But at the same time, the Spirit is working in us and giving us that confidence in the content of Scripture. And we continue to grow in that side of faith as well. So here's the thing. As we grow in faith, both content and confidence, we do it through the Spirit and we do it through this Scripture. And it is Scripture is life. Because through it, we learn about and learn to trust in the God who is the God of life and the God who is alive. The one who rose from the dead. And the only way that we're, and again, remember, the only way that we're going to continue to go in a straight line and not veer off, not get distracted, not follow the shiny objects, not all of a sudden remember five other things we really need to be doing at this moment, is to stay in God's word. And he will guide us down the straight line. He'll keep us straight. And when we wander, what do? When we sin, when we step outside his will, when we don't follow him the way we should, what do? We repent, which means that we ask for forgiveness, yes. We receive that forgiveness, yes, but we turn and we go back to the line that God wants us to walk. And when we read his Bible, that incredible word of God, that description of his law, it is a perfect description of his law, which means we're going to feel bad a lot because we're going to realize that we're still sinning. We think we're on the straight line, but we're not. And then God corrects us again and moves us again. And this is the walk of a Christian. And how do we have the strength to continue doing it on that line? Well, because God He sends us his Spirit in the Word, and he also gives us his meal. That this through this meal, we receive that forgiveness of sins, that life and salvation, that strength to continue to work, to continue to try, to continue to stay in the game. And this is the Christian walk. It's a struggle, but it gets better, because the one day is coming. The day is coming when we get to go home to the Father. And on that day, the wicked won't be there. They're not going to make it. But we will, because of all he has done. And we will give him glory and praise and honor and adoration for all eternity, because he is good. I mean, really good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you. We thank you, that Lord, that you have revealed yourself to us. We thank you that you have what you have revealed to us about yourself is your great love, forgiveness, mercy, grace. That you love us enough that you wrote this book for us to read, and that you have promised to work through it, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, so that we will be able to understand it, Lord, and trust it. And that we can have confidence in you. Confidence in your promise. Your promises for this life, Lord, but especially your promises for eternity. Thank you, Lord, for all you've given us. In your holy name we pray. Amen. My friends, let us stand up as we return praise to the God who has so wonderfully taken care of us. Let us now confess our faith using the explanation to the second article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he has risen from the dead lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. All right, it is now time for us to turn to our Father in heaven and pray and bring our concerns, petitions, and needs before him. Today, there's two big things that I would like to be able to bring up and encourage you guys to pray about at home as well. First of all, Carol Young passed away last week, and her funeral, I believe, was Friday. Was that right? Yeah. And it's the flowers that are adorning our altar this morning, which are so beautiful, are from the Young family. And we want to be praying for Wayne as he, like I said last week, rejoices because he knows his wife is in heaven with Jesus, but at the same time grieves because she's not here with him. And then also, Linda Dane, one of our teachers, has taken a call to a church, Our Savior Fenton, and which is like just the next church down. And we just want to be praying for her, that God would continue to bless her ministry and that God would lead our school as we go through the call process of figuring out exactly what we're going to do with school staff and who knows? You know, we'll figure it out. It's just, this is all very fresh, so we're still adapting. All right, so let's pray, my friends. Heavenly Father, you are so good to us, Lord. You have blessed us beyond all measure, beyond all imagination, Lord, that we can live and be in your presence here today, that you are with us at all times, that you have promised, Lord, that by your strength, by your power, by the authority that you have, that you choose to spend that with us, and that you are our God. Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless your church. Help us, Lord, to do your work in this world. Help us, Lord, to do it with passion, Lord, and also to do it faithfully and with careful deliberation, thought, and study of your word. Lord, I pray that you would be with each and every person of our congregation, every family, Lord, all the relationships within our church, that every father of our church would be a Christian father and that it would aspire to pass the faith, Lord, this incredible salvation that you have made available to us, Lord, that they would pass that faith on to their children, Lord, and encourage that faith in their wives, Lord, that you would be with the wives of the congregation, that they would be an encouragement to their families, that you'd be with the children, that you would nurture and grow that faith in them as they watch their learn from their parents what it means to be a Christian man and woman in this world. Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless each and every family. And Lord, we pray especially for the Young family who at the death of Carol are struggling and grieving. Lord, I pray that you would be their strength during this difficult time, but that they would be able to take joy and peace in knowing that she is with you, that you love her more than we do, and that you will care for her, Lord, for all of eternity, and that we will see her again on the last day. Lord, I pray that you would also continue to be with Linda. Lord, as it is dear to our hearts in our church, Lord, the next generation, these children that are being raised in the faith, that we pour ourselves into those children, Lord, through in our families, Lord, but also through Sunday school, through VBS ministry, and especially, Lord, through our school. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with Linda, Lord, as she goes and continues in this ministry that you have given her to pour herself into the young people, that the children that she teaches would be blessed, Lord, that the families that she reaches would be blessed, that people would grow in their faith because of her and because of the word that you put in her mouth. And Lord, I pray that you would guide our school as we move forward, that you would help us to figure out exactly where it is you want us to go, what it is you want us to do, how the staffing is going to look, how it's going to work out. So many questions, Lord, but we take confidence in knowing that you have the answers, that this isn't a surprise to you or this isn't shaking your world, but that you've got this figured out. And Lord, I pray that you would give us the clarity and the wisdom to hear your voice, so that we can make these decisions, Lord, in a way that will bring you glory and benefit your children. Lord, all these things we've come before you and pray. And we ask, and then we also pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. All right, it is now time for the Lord's Supper. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. This do as often as in remembrance of me." And after the same way also he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me.
There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't.
The very body of God himself we have received. And in that body, it is powerful. Your sin is great. I mean, let's face it. We've done a lot that is wrong. We've fallen so short of his glory. But this gift of forgiveness, this gift of his body and blood in which our forgiveness comes, is greater than our sin. And because of that, we can have confidence to live our lives, to stand in his presence and to live our lives representing him in the world. So as you have received this very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins that he promises to give us in this gift, depart in his peace. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let us stand up as we sing one last song together, giving praise to him always.
I hope to sing your praises, my sweet Savior, and remind my heart of what you've done for me. When I think of all the ways that you've been faithful, I rejoice to know that's how you'll always be.
Just a few announcements as we before we go our ways today. First of all, MOPS is having a fundraiser on May 17th, and it's one of those where you have to take your wife out to dinner or go out to dinner yourself. Darn it, no cooking and no cleaning up. It's a terrible thing. I hate those. Actually, I love those. They're really fun. Anyway, and plus I get to see all of you when you're there, so that's kind of fun too. Basically, though, that's going to be on May 17th for MOPS. And then, let's see here now. Mother's Day through Father's Day, Lutherans for Life is collecting items for families with young children. We want to be collecting that stuff. And those are going to be, it's on the first column of the announcements in the bulletin here, the list of the things that we're going to be collecting. And you just bring it in and drop it off in the cribs in the lobby. And let's see, there was one other thing I wanted to mention. Oh, that's it. Okay, COVID. it's been rough on a lot of things. And one of the things that's been rough on is our building, because normally we have a lot of guys that show up and have, you know, been maintaining the building. Well, there's been a crew, but not as big as usual. And the building, they've done a marvelous job of keeping things on an even keel and keeping us going. But there's been a few things that we've just had to let slide for the last year and a half, like paint. And the EC classrooms and the classrooms in the school are desperately in need of some paint. And so if we got anybody out there who would be willing to help us out, we got to paint as many rooms as we possibly can. And we have like about 4 weeks to do it in the middle of the summer after VBS and before they wax the floors. So it's kind of that, we have that window. So if you're willing to help us late June, early July, please let us know. And we'll, I'm going to need a team of people who are going to be willing to go in and take like stuff off the walls so that you can paint. And then I'll need people to go in and actually do the painting and then put everything back on the walls again. So there's going to be a lot of labor in it. Let us know what you can do, and we will, we're going to get it done together. It's a lot of rooms, but we can do it. We can do this. All right. So with that, God's blessings on your week. Stick around for Bible study. We got the women's Bible study, the men's Bible study, and then my Bible study in here where we're going to be talking about the fourth commandment, which is the whole like obeying the government and parents and all that good stuff. Everybody loves those kind of commandments, right? Obey. All right. God's blessings on your week.